Darkness is not an affirmative force. It simply reoccupies the space vacated by the light.
This is the Hamilton Corner on American Family Radio.
And Urban Family Talk.
It should be uncomfortable for a believer to live as a hypocrite.
Delivering people out of the bondage of mainstream media.
And the philosophies of this world.
God has called you and me to be his ambassadors. Even in this dark moment. Let's not miss our moment.
And now, the Hamilton Corner.
Good evening. Welcome to the Hamilton Corner here on American Family Radio. Excuse me, in Urban Family Talk, I'm your host, Abraham Hamilton III. I am joined by the full J-Squared contingent, Mr. Jeff Reed on my left, Jason Tross on my right, Hannah Farah in the screening room, and we are excited to make it to another day. This Wednesday in the year of our Lord, 2019. A great day to be alive, to have another opportunity to fulfill the purposes of the Lord in our generation. While most of you are making your way from your part-time jobs to your full-time jobs, and as you are doing that, I just want to encourage you in your pursuits of executing the Great Commission, in your endeavors to be fruitful in every area of your life, I just want to encourage you to be intentional about making sure that we are excellent in service, discharging service to our Lord in our homes and serving our families. Very often, the unfortunate reality is we can find ourselves in the hustle and bustle of life, generating an income, doing all sorts of things where we can neglect our families. And I like to offer this daily encouragement to just give us an opportunity to pump the brakes a little bit, you know, to pump the brakes on life a little bit. You know, if you are in the position where you have children, or even grandchildren in your home, they're only going to be there for a certain amount of time. You know, you don't get to redo ages 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, and so on. You only get one opportunity for that. You know, and as the great Frederick Douglass said, it's much easier to train children than to repair a broken man. That's what Frederick Douglass said. Of course, it doesn't mean we should abandon broken men, but I believe Frederick Douglass was globbing onto, catching onto the reality of what our Lord really enshrined in Scripture when we see that the context for the grant of delegated authority was to a family, to a husband and a wife with the capacity for offspring, and the Lord creating a family, exemplifying marriage, and the first command being fruitfulness and multiplication. It shows the primacy that our Lord placed on family, which it would be wise for us to understand that and approach family with the same type of priority. Praise God. Now we're going to turn our attention to the Word of God as we do on a daily basis because the Word of God gives us clarity. The Word of God gives us insight, wisdom, and prudence and enables us to navigate the issues of the day, not just from a perspective of gaining information, but navigating them with wisdom. So we're going to start in the book of Proverbs. Chapter 14 is going to read three simple verses, verses 15, 16, and 17. Proverbs 14, verses 15, 16, and 17. Here we go. Oh, well, let me say this, and I know I say this a lot, so if you hear this often, bear with me, but I'm learning, and Jeff is helping me keep up with this, that it seems like on a daily basis, more people find this program. So some of the things I may say that may be repetitious for you, it may be new to a new listener. So here we go. The book of Proverbs is the genre of literature that it is. It is wisdom literature. The book of Proverbs is wisdom literature. The book of Ecclesiastes is wisdom literature. Wisdom literature is able to be navigated differently from, for example, narrative and prose. Whereas wisdom literature, you can evaluate individual proverbs and plumb the depths of those proverbs, as opposed to narrative. You have to have an extensive contextualization for an individual verse. You hear verses taken out of context on a regular basis. I say all the time. For example, I don't take any pleasure in doing this, but one of the things I've encountered repeatedly is people say, "Yeah, I can't wait to get to the New Jerusalem to get my mansion," because you know the Bible says, "In my Father's house there are many mansions," and yes, that is what the King James Version of the Bible says. However. When the King James Version says, "In my Father's house there are many mansions," you have to understand that the transliteration from Greek into King James's English At King James's time, a mansion was the equivalent of a broom closet. The point of that text is not to convey, you know, a 10,000 square foot home with a four car garage with indoor and outdoor kitchens. It was to convey that in my father's house, there is room. There are rooms. It's not meant to say that it is our modern understanding of what a mansion is. That is an example of eisegesis. When you see the word mansion and you read into the text your common contemporary understanding of what mansions are. Now, it's important to contextualize the verse, and you realize, and really, not knowing Greek and Hebrew is not really important, because if you read that entire verse within its context in the recording of the gospel through the Apostle John, you realize that, man, this is not talking about a house. This is talking about the Lord just has places for us. That's what it is. So that's an example where wisdom literature is a different genre of literature where you can evaluate individual scripture, individual verses, I'd say, and plumb the depths of them. So with that, let's look at verses 15, 16, and 17 in the book of Proverbs. Here we go. The simple believes everything, but the prudent gives thought to his steps. Or the King James says, the prudent looketh, E-T-H, well to his going. Verse 16, one who is wise is cautious and turns away from evil. But a fool is reckless and careless. A man of quick temper acts foolishly, and a man of evil devices is hated. Now let's talk a little bit about this. Verse 15, the simple believes everything, but the prudent gives thought to his steps. Another way to say that, trust but verify. Yes, trust but verify. When you see the King James, it says, the prudent looketh well to his going. I told you before, and I'll say it again. Whenever you see a verb ending with the ETH ending in the King James translation of the Bible, looketh well to his going, that means to communicate the tense of that verb, meaning that it is a continuation. It's not that the prudent looks one time and then moves on. No, the prudent looks continuously. Looks continuously. One who is wise is cautious. You get the clear communication there. A wise person is one who does not respond, act, nor verbally respond rashly. The prudent waits for all the facts, to say it simply. Gets all of the information before we pop off. And this wise person in verse 16 is contrasted with the fool. Now, when you see fool in the scripture, the Bible is not talking about just a name called, like you insulting somebody playing the dozens, you fool. No, the Bible tells us a fool says in his heart there is no God. So what Proverbs is really telling us, if we are Christ followers, if we are worshipers of Yahweh, our reverence for God requires us to look well into a matter before responding. Now, I'm saying that because, man, the things that are happening here in our country recently with the Covington High School, and this is just the latest one, the Covington Catholic High School students, with the situation that's going on right now with the actor, Jussie Smollett. You know, it would be very easy to rest the conversation on the fact that there are, you know, there are hoaxes going on. There's a hoax, there's a hoax, there's a hoax. But what I want to do in having this understanding about the issues that are going on, encourage the brethren, the body of Christ, that we not be a part. I don't care where you stand on what side of the political aisle you stand on, that members of God's family don't get caught up into rushing into the fray before we have all the facts. We're gonna pop off before we have all the facts, because Proverbs is telling us that if we act recklessly and carelessly, we are conducting ourselves as if there is no God. Isn't that amazing? I'll read it again. One who is wise is cautious and turns away from evil, but a fool is reckless and careless. Now, I know what some of us are saying. You know, well, Abraham, the media does this. Well, can I offer something to you? That in the kingdom of God, we don't have the excuses that the media has. Just because the media may get stuff wrong all the time doesn't mean we should be a party to that. And this is one of those things where we have to resist the conditioning that could come from the world. Now, I'm not saying that everybody needs to be a police detective and you have to get your magnifying glass and hunt everything down. But what I'm saying is it should not be named among us that we have the propensity that our lifestyles are defined by popping off with opinions that are completely void of facts. Not us. That shouldn't be named among the brethren. I know that in our, you know, the social media driven culture that we have and with the access that we all have to the internet, where we can do things and say things. But I just want to urge this caution, because when we are known as people who give opinion factlessly, we have the potential. I'm not saying it happens in every circumstance, but we have the potential of hindering and compromising our witness. We want to be those who we have weighty words, that when we weigh in on a matter, we're not weighing in solely emotionally. Notice I said solely emotionally. When human beings, God has given us emotions, yes. But we don't want emotion to drive our engagement. I mean, there are this latest situation with Jussie Smollett. You know, that's one of a host of issues that the media has run with. I mean, remember the church in Mississippi, I think it was in Greenville, when, you know, soon after the 2016 election, where the word, a racist slur was sprayed on the side of a church, and it was a church that was predominantly populated by members of a darker melanin content, and the media ran with the narrative, oh, this is a hate crime perpetrated by Trump supporters to denigrate the members of this local church. And it turns out, you know, after the media no longer had any interest in the story, it turns out that the person who did that was a man who was a former member of that church who had a darker paint job himself. But the media didn't report that story because they had already accomplished what they sought to accomplish, which was to convey the narrative that people who support President Trump, they hate people with darker skin. So once they made that statement, they moved on. But they didn't do any follow-up. You know, story after story, Trump supporter snatched off a Muslim woman's hijab. Happened at the University of Louisiana Lafayette, in my home state. Turns out, she made it up. There's another story in New York. A young girl said Trump supporters tackled her, held her down, snatched off her hijab. It turned out the young lady was sneaking out, had a boyfriend that her daddy didn't know about. And she got caught. So she made up the story. And so what I'm saying, let me just read it from the scripture. You know, it's always safer to read the word of God. I'm reading it again real slow. The simple believes everything, but the prudent gives thought to his steps. You know, Christ following is intelligent, gives thoughts to his steps, looketh well into his going. One who is wise is cautious and turns away from evil. And that is the beauty of the caution. Because when we are cautious, it gives us the opportunity. Man, let's get some facts before we form opinions. Then, once the evil is revealed, whether the evil is in favor of what you may have thought initially or opposed to what you thought initially, you have the opportunity now to turn away from evil instead of popping off on the front end and have to come back and say, you know what, man? I was wrong in that area. And you know, it's good to have the humility to admit that you're wrong about something. I've done that plenty of times. But can I tell you something? Like Samuel told Saul, obedience is better than sacrifice. It's better to wait and be right later than to be wrong on the front end and apologize frequently. Because I'm telling you, as Christ followers, we should adhere to a different standard. Why? And I've referred to this before. The sixth commandment. The commandment that tells us that we shouldn't bear false witness. I told you before, that is far more broad than prohibiting us from lying. It also includes an implicit right that as a human being made in the image and likeness of God, you and I have a right to be free from any type of defamation and slander. Now, of course, defamation and slander includes an intentional component that there's false information that you're conveying. But at the same time, we also have a right to not have false information floating around about us. So we should not be involved as much as we can. And yes, I understand I talk on the radio every day. As much as we can, we should not be involved in presenting false information. So what would aid us in complying with the scripture's mandate is that we're cautious and turn away from evil before we pop off with opinions.
Anti-Semitism condemned from a powerful pulpit. Hi, I'm Matt Staver with Freedom's Call. Recently at the State of the Union address, President Trump showed his strong support for Israel. The president called out anti-Semitism for the vile poison that it is. In the audience, the president hosted a survivor of both the Holocaust and the Pittsburgh Synagogue Massacre. He's a living reminder to the nation of the death and destruction anti-Semitism always brings. Another honored guest in the audience included a prisoner at the Nazi concentration camp. Seated next to him was an American soldier who helped liberate the camp. Many of our soldiers died to fight against the hatred of the Jewish people. Today, anti-Semitism still poses a huge threat, and some of that threat is coming from inside our own government. Our nation needs to take a stand for Israel, God's chosen holy land. Stay informed at Liberty Counsel's website, lc.org.
Wesley Biblical Seminary, on campus in Jackson, Mississippi, online with live face-to-face video classrooms. Hello, I'm John Nyhoff, the president of Wesley Biblical Seminary. Let us provide you with excellence in biblical and theological graduate education. International, nationwide, interdenominational, conservative, biblical. The world is our campus, Wesley Biblical Seminary.
Thoughts of the child you were carrying keep pouring over in your mind. You wish things could be different, and the loss is overwhelming. A deep, unrelenting sadness overshadows your days, and you wonder if you will feel whole again. There is hope and healing from a reproductive loss. Call the International Helpline, 866-482-LIFE, and talk with someone who has been where you are. Your call is confidential. 866-482-LIFE.
Ryan Fisher here with today's Life and Liberty Minute. Due to overwhelming demand, we sold completely out of the first run of my new book, The Boy to Man Book. The good news is the second run has arrived and we're ready to fill your orders again. I wrote this book for fathers of 12-year-old sons to read with their sons in order to impart to them the eternal wisdom of Solomon about manhood. We received this note from a dad. My son is 5. I've already read the book to him twice, and I'm currently reading it the third time. I vow to keep reading it to him until he is 12. Tell Brian thank you. Well, Derek, you're welcome. What makes this book special is not my writing. Trust me, I know, because I read it. What makes it special is it contains the wisdom of Solomon on every page. Order your copy today at afastore.net.
Catch Brian Fisher on Focal Point, weekday afternoons at 105 Central on American Family Radio.
Shining light into the darkness, this is the Hamilton Corner on American Family Radio
and Urban Family Talk.
I have fought for love. I'm an advocate. I respect too much the people who I am now one of those people who have been attacked in any way. You do such a disservice when you lie about things like this.
Yeah, you do such a disservice when you lie about things like this. Welcome back to the Hamilton Corner here in American Family Radio and Urban Family Talk. That was Jussie Smollett, the actor who reported being attacked on January 29th by two men who he described as having lighter skin at 2 in the morning. On a very frigid night in Chicago, after he had picked up his tuna Subway sandwich. And the men attacked him, according to his own testimony, poured a liquid on him, brutalized him, and yelled homophobic and racial slurs at him in the course of that attack. Now, let me say something before I move on here. Because I realized in the first segment, in referring to the commandment that prohibits bearing false witness, I referred to it as the sixth commandment. I meant ninth commandment. I said sixth, and I had nine in my head. But it's the ninth commandment that prohibits the bearing of false witness. And we had a very astute observer on the Book of Faces, Cindy, who caught that And I said, man, I did say sixth. I meant ninth. But thank you for that, Cindy. And right after I'm talking about being correct. I'm telling you. But getting back to Jesse. Oh, Lord. So more facts have unfolded here lately. And today, a statement was issued by the spokesman for the Chicago Police Department, Anthony Guglielmi, who said, quote, Jussie Smollett is now officially classified as a suspect in a criminal investigation by the Chicago police for filing a false police report, which is a class 4 felony. Detectives are currently, that would mean right now, presenting evidence before a Cook County grand jury. Yeah. Cook County Grand Jury. Now, I've gone through some of the details as to why, and this was one of those instances where I waited until I had more and more information before I weighed in on the issue, because I saw it. It was sensational in the reports, knowing the long list of hoaxes. And I shared a thread from a journalist who recorded, I'd say, about 20, 25. I mean, folks, these all happened just since President Trump's election. Of people who initially said a Trump supporter did this to them. And that they all, not some of them, they all turned out to be hoaxes. And the thing that was a common denominator in all these stories, the media was interested in the initial report of the sensational attack, but they were not very interested in reporting the fact that it was revealed to be a hoax. Isn't that interesting? I probably should give you an idea what the motivation is behind these journalists who hop on these stories. But let me get back to the facts of this particular case, because some additional facts have come out. And I think you can now officially say, and again, you don't even have to give your own opinion. You can say officially now that the police in Chicago are investigating Jussie Smollett's false report of a crime to the police, making a false police report. Well, some of the additional facts that came out were that, one, that two individuals were arrested initially. Two brothers by the name of Ola and Abel Osendaro, who are, they have Nigerian ancestry, but they grew up born and raised in Chicago. They came out and said, no, we're not anti-Trump. Jussie Smollett paid us for this. In fact, this is what they told the police department. Jussie paid us. The agreement was for $4,000. It paid us $3,500 on the front end. We went to Nigeria, and when we got back, we were supposed to collect that extra $500. The men have served as extras on the Empire show. So they know Jussie Smollett personally. Then, that's not all they said. They also told police, in fact, the reason why the attack was orchestrated was because Jussie Smollett originally crafted a hate letter himself that included letters cut out of a magazine to put together in a threatening, put together as words, including homophobic and racial slurs. Folks, I'm telling you, this is crazy. Homophobic and racial slurs that depicted a stick figure with a noose hanging around it, put around his neck, of the stick figure in the letter, sent to Jussie Smollett at the studios in Chicago where the Empire show is recorded, with threatening slurs saying, Jussie, you're going to die. Jussie Smollett reported that to the police officers. And according to these Osendaro brothers, the reason why the attack was orchestrated was because Jussie was upset that the media didn't give more attention to this letter that he sent to himself that included a white powdery substance. This is what these brothers told the police. So to rewind the tape, Jussie originally sent a threatening letter to himself, reported it to the FBI and the police that had hazmat individuals dispatched to the studios to investigate a threat, a federal threat, a federal crime of a terroristic threat. Then when the media didn't take that story and run with it the way that he expected it, Jussie entered into a financial agreement with these men to stage his own attack. Now, rewinding the tape even further, the reports are, why did Jesse do this? Well, the initial reports were that his character was being eliminated on the Empire show, which Fox, which is the network that airs this show, came out and said, no, that is not the case. But what has been confirmed is that Jussie Smollett's role was diminishing on the show. He was getting less scenes, less and less screen time. So it appears, now this is speculation, it appears that the orchestration did not even begin with the attacks. The orchestration began with the letters being sent, with the letter, one letter, sent to the studio threatening Jussie. That included what appeared to be a noose hanging around the neck of a stick figure that was supposed to be Jussie Smollett, followed by, a week later, this attack. I reported to you before, the police officers executed a search warrant on the Osandaro brothers' apartment. They found a red hat, ski masks, a magazine. Why did they take the magazine? Perhaps it's because it was letters were cut out of it, as well as a receipt. Well, additional facts that we have are that the rope, which was used as a noose, was purchased from the Crafty Beaver Hardware Store in the Ravenswood neighborhood on the weekend of January 25th. The brothers told the police officer, Jussie gave us the money to buy this rope. See, here's a receipt. Did I mention that Jussie's on video walking back to his apartment with a rope around his neck? And when the police finally came to his apartment, he still had the rope around his neck? Who does that? And I know I already told you that he went inside his apartment when he still had the Subway sandwich. Maybe the brother was hungry, you know? But I don't know if you get a beat down and you keep the sandwich. I'm just saying. Well, Lord, I'm telling you, this is crazy. More facts, folks, not Abe's opinion, facts. The Chicago Police Department now has video of the Osandaro brothers purchasing a red hat, ski masks, and other supplies at this Crafty Beaver Hardware Store in the Ravenswood neighborhood of Chicago. Now, one of the things I say why I didn't believe it is that Jussie Smollett's neighbors didn't believe it. The area town, the name of the area town slipped my mind. I got a friend who lives in Chicago who sent me a message. It was like, Abe, this dude said this happened in Streeterville, son. In Streeterville, the people who live there, it's all black people, and it's predominantly populated by black people and homosexual people. Nobody's going to attack you for being gay and black in Streeterville. And then they have all kind of cameras in Streeterville. Latest bit of information? Folks, I'm just giving information that I got. The Osandaro brothers, yesterday, were outside of the grand jury room preparing to testify in this case. Prior to them, I got a question. Jussie bought the rope. According to the brothers, Jussie gave them the money to buy the rope. That's according to the reports I have. But getting back to the facts of the case, the Osandaro brothers were outside of the grand jury room yesterday preparing to testify. But the grand jury proceedings were postponed because Jussie Smollett's lawyers called. Now, what happened in that call? I don't know for certain. Some indications are that they are saying that they have additional evidence to present. But I find it very curious that the people whom Jussie Smollett, well, let me say it this way. Jussie Smollett originally said two people attacked him, assaulted him. The police reported that they arrested two individuals. When two people were arrested, Jussie Smollett didn't say anything. So if he orchestrated this whole attack, you mean to tell me he was willing to allow two innocent individuals to go to jail? With him knowing what we are learning now? You want to talk about despicable? That's despicable. That is despicable. So you are willing to allow people to go to jail for this. Folks, that's not a harmless, victimless crime. Well, now, as I've stated, the police has said Justice Smollett is no longer being treated by the Chicago Police Department as a victim. He is now a suspect in a Class 4 felony. Now, two things I want to do before I move on from this story. One is I want you to hear for yourself that about a week or so after the attack, Jussie Smollett originally said his ribs were broke, bruised ribs, and he was hospitalized. But his story began to unravel with his own words when he showed up to perform at a club in Hollywood, California, about a week or so after the what now is being described as a hoax. Please play clip number 4.
I was bruised, but my ribs were not cracked. They were not broken. I went to the doctor immediately. Frank Gadsden drove me. I was not hospitalized. Both my doctors in LA and Chicago cleared me to perform, but said to take care, obviously. And above all, I fought the back. I'm the gay Tupac.
The man said he is the gay Tupac. The gay Tupac. Now, we're learning all of this. Chicago Police Department said it is possible that we will see Jussie Smollett indicted in a matter of hours, not days, for a Class 4 felony, a false report to a police officer. I mean, they got the video of these dudes buying the stuff. Buying the stuff. This is insane, which really begs the question, and I didn't plan to spend this much time on this, but why do you think the media grabbed a hold of this so quickly? I think Joy Behar admitted it in the fallout. I wish I would have had that audio. I should have mentioned that I played it before in the show. But after the Covington High School scenario played out, and Whoopi Goldberg asked Joy Behar on The View why she felt the media continues to get these things wrong, and she said, because we hate Trump. And Whoopi was taken aback, saying, what are you talking about, Trump? What they got to do with this? And Joy, in a moment of candor, Joyless Behar, admitted that because the media is so ravenously desirous to pin things to President Trump, that they'll run with the story even if there's no story. And in this case, I mean, he put all the sauce on the case. I didn't even mention that the return address on the letter that was sent to the studio that called him, you know, homophobic slurs, you're going to die, Jussie, in a week, you're going to die. The return address, all that was written in the return address spot was MAGA. And the media runs with this. Brian Stelter and Allison Camerota tried to say, that, oh, no, the only ones who ran with it was celebrity media personnel. And I mean, I don't know who did with it when our own network cohort did the exact opposite. Please play clip number 3.
Speaker of the House Nancy Pelosi tweeting, the racist, homophobic attack on Jussie Smollett is an affront to our humanity.
Mm. And Senator Cory Booker said, the vicious attack on actor Jussie was an attempted modern-day lynching.
Kamala Harris lynching. Calling the attack an attempted modern-day lynching.
But I'm so shaken by the story. This is horrible to report. This is a horrible story. This is a horrible story.
Yeah. I mean, the circumstances are just horrific.
Horrendous and unacceptable.
Absolutely despicable.
Yeah, a lot of people can't believe this is actually happening in 2019.
It's hard to believe that we're reporting, that we're even saying words like this in 2019. Mm-hmm.
Mm. And this is America in 2019.
Now, that was Brooke Baldwin on CNN's network saying this is America in 2019. But they didn't run with a false narrative, did they? Guys, this is sad. This is sad. And they was all too willing to let two people go to jail for this hoax. People want this stuff to be true. As sad as it is to say, people want this stuff to be true because that is what they perceive in America. But most of the people who are saying this kind of stuff, they don't really know America. Just like the same people who complain about overpopulation, they haven't even driven through the middle of the country.
Hello, I'm Tim Wildman, president of American Family Association and American Family Radio. You know, on our spiritual heritage tour of Washington, D.C., we go to the Supreme Court. That's one of the places we go on day one, and we visit the inside chambers. We go to where the justices sit, and it's an amazing place to visit, the Supreme Court of the United States. We don't just look at the outside. We go to the inside and see where the justices sit and where oral arguments are heard. So that's just one of the places we visit on one of the days. We're in Washington, D.C., and we also go to Mount Vernon, the home of George and Martha Washington. So we're going in September. June's full. September will be filling up soon. If you want more information on this Spiritual Heritage Tour, go to spiritualheritagetours.com. That's spiritualheritagetours.com.
Lurch to the left. This is David Wheaton, host of The Christian Worldview. If conservative Christians thought President Obama had a leftist worldview, the new faces of the Democrat Party, Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez, Ilhan Omar, Rashida Tlaib, Cory Booker, and others, are even more so. Now, killing a baby during or after birth is openly supported, restructuring our entire society to slow climate change is a necessity, and affirming homosexuality and transgenderism is righteous. The prophet Isaiah said, "Woe to those who enact evil statutes and to those who constantly record unjust decisions." Followers of Christ need to be equipped for this anti-Christian movement of the left. Hear more at thechristianworldview.org. This weekend, we'll discuss tough questions of the faith.
Listen to The Christian Worldview with David Wheaton, Saturday mornings at 8 Central on American Family Radio.
Fox News Commentary with Todd Starnes.
Hello, Americans. A Wisconsin judge is under fire for being a good Christian. That story next. Brian Hagedorn is a candidate for the Wisconsin Supreme Court. He is also a Christian man, and that has many people troubled on the far left. Of particular concern is the fact he founded a Christian grade school that bars students, parents, and teachers from participating in immoral sexual activity, including same-sex marriage, a core tenet of the Christian faith, by the way, for about 2,000 years. But the Human Rights Campaign says Hagedorn's involvement in the school should disqualify him from serving on the court. The attacks are not surprising. A number of federal candidates have been interrogated over Bible study attendance and membership in the Knights of Columbus. TheFederalist.com rightly framed the argument this way: you can't be a good judge because you're a Christian. I'm Todd Starnes.
That's your Fox News commentary.
The Hamilton Corner podcast and one-minute commentaries are available at AFR.net and UrbanFamilyTalk.com. Back to the Hamilton Corner on American Family Radio
and Urban Family Talk.
Welcome back to the Hamilton Corner here on American Family Radio and Urban Family Talk. If you would like to join the program, you are welcome to do so. What I'd like to have a conversation with callers about is, why do you think? I know I've shared my opinion about what's happening. But why do you think the media is so willing to jump onto these fake stories, quite frankly, when, you know, a lot of them get upset with President Trump saying they're fake news? But how else do you describe it when these things pan out to be fake so consistently? So the number to call if you'd like to join the program is 888-589-8840. The number again is 888-589-8840. What I would like to talk to you about is, why do you think the media runs with these fake stories so consistently? And as callers are coming in, I want to take this opportunity to remind you that this summer, June 20th through the 22nd, the American Family Association has sponsored the Marriage, Family, and Life Conference. This is the second year that we've had this conference, and one of the primary reasons, well, the theme of the conference is Hold the Line. When you survey the landscape around us and you see what's happening and what is the largest source of a threat to the advancement of the gospel and the execution of the Great Commission. You see all over the country, people who profess to be followers of the Lord Jesus Christ falling, stumbling, clumsily responding to the issue of human sexuality and identity, to the issues of human sexuality and identity. And so the Marriage, Family, and Life Conference has been created to equip the body of Christ to respond effectively to these issues. The lineup is of speakers and presenters is absolutely phenomenal. We're going to have the cold case detective, J. Warner Wallace, who is still and started this whole venture into Christianity first and foremost as a cold case homicide detective who was not a Christian. And he employed his skills as a cold case homicide detective to investigate the existence of God and the truth claims of Christianity. Isn't that amazing? And the end of his investigation resulted in him becoming a Christian. He wrote a book called Forensic Faith, The Cold Case for Christianity. I mean, it's phenomenal. He will be there presenting in the conference. He will be speaking in the plenary session as well as in the children's conference, the Children's Apologetics Conference. One of the features of this conference is that it is a true family conference where we did not want to present a situation where your children would just be babysat, but where your children ages 4 to 13 will be fortified and equipped to articulate what they believe and why they believe it. And so this is happening at this conference. We're also going to have Bishop E.W. Jackson, who most recently ran for the U.S. Senate in Virginia. He will be speaking. Bishop Vincent Matthews will be tackling the issue of life. We will also have Stephen Black, who lived for 30 plus years as a homosexual man himself. And the Lord saved him and delivered him from that lifestyle. Over 30 years ago, who's been freed from that lifestyle and has a ministry reaching out to people who struggle with same-sex attraction and ministering the salvation through the gospel of Jesus Christ and communicating the Bible truth that you can be set free. You can be delivered. Deliverance is not an old school word. The Lord is still in the business of breaking the power of sin over people's lives and delivering us from all manner of sinful lifestyle. We'll also have Laura Perry, a woman who lived for 8 years as a transgender man, going as far as having a double mastectomy and reconstructive surgeries until the light of Christ invaded her life. So what I'm telling you is that this is real equipment, folks. Equipment. Mikki Addison, who if you listen to this program, you heard her host in my stead many times. She'll be speaking about the legacy of the Christian church, how the Christian faith has been called to hold the line in every generation. And I will be speaking at the conference as well. To register, and you're welcome to do so, you can go to urbanfamilytalk.com. Right at the upper left-hand corner, you'll see the conference tab. Click on it. You can register there. The registration costs also include lunch on both days of the conference. It begins Thursday evening and then Friday and Saturday. The registration fee includes lunch Friday and Saturday. And I wanted to make you aware of that, and it's going to be an amazing conference. You do not want to miss this. And I'm talking about it now. I know it's in June, but I'm talking about it now because I expect it to sell out. And so I want to make sure that listeners to this program who want to be a part of this conference, you have the opportunity to do so, because we need to be fortified and equipped for the day that God has placed us in. And this conference has been created with the express purpose of equipping the body of Christ for these issues. I know many churches struggle in these areas. Come and be equipped. Many individuals struggle in these areas. Come and be equipped. It's going to be an amazing time. The entire family is welcome. We do not believe children are a burden. We do not believe children are an impediment. So your children are welcome to participate in this conference. It's going to be a great time. You don't want to miss it. urbanfamilytalk.com/conference if you want to know that. But when you go to that website, you can see it right in the upper left-hand corner where you can register. And I also want to mention, and I forgot to mention this earlier, there's also booths. Ministries and vendors can purchase booth space. If you'd like to have your ministry or your organization represented at this conference, you have that availability as well. So just wanted to make sure you knew that. As promised, we'll go now to the phone lines. We will begin in Arkansas, where Stephen is on the line. Stephen, thank you for calling the Hamilton Corner. Welcome to the program.
Well, thank you, sir, for your work, and I'll make this quick and listen off the air. There was a story that I read in the Bible. It's been years ago. I don't think I could even find it now. It's about the Trojan horse. Well, our government is starting to break out of its proverbial Trojan horse now, because what better way to take down a country than from within?
And Stephen, did you say you read that in the Bible?
I thought it was.
Okay, I'm familiar with the story, with the Trojan horse story, but that is not in the Bible. But I understand the point I believe you're trying to make, and I will respond to your comment in this way. When Abraham Lincoln served as president, he argued that the United States of America was such a healthy republic that it would not be destroyed by any external forces, but it risked being destroyed internally. And at that time, the nation was divided over the humanity of people with darker skin, because the reason why I say humanity is the entire issue of slavery really folds on the question as whether or not people with darker skin are human beings, and whether or not human beings can be owned as chattel property. Well, the president, Abraham Lincoln, the 16th president, said, we will entirely be one thing or another. And the great risk to this republic comes from within, not from without. This is also why I believe that the oath of affirmation concerning the Constitution is to protect our republic from threats, both foreign and domestic. And I believe that we're at a place right now in our nation where we have become a nation divided. And some people want to say divided politically, but I really think that the ultimate divide is a theological divide. Because when you see what the divides are around, you see the issues, for example, of baby murder. And I used to say in utero baby murder, but now with, you know, Virginia Governor Ralph Northam, he's talking about murdering a baby after delivery. So you're not even talking about in utero baby murder exclusively anymore. You're talking about baby murder. We consider the issues of identity and human sexuality. Well, the two sides differ primarily on he made them both male and female concerning identity. And for this cause, shall a man leave his father and mother and be joined to his wife, cleaving to his wife, defining marriage? Well, there are people that reject that. That rejection is based on a rejection of the authority of Scripture in this regard. So in my opinion, the division is theological primarily. I think there are political appurtenances to these ideological divides. I'm trying to get the words out, Ann. I'm sorry, trying to get it together. But I believe at its core is a theological division. And so the question, and as Stephen referred to, if the nation is going to fall, it won't be an external source. It will be an implosion. So, and I do agree with that idea that it's not the greatest threats to America are not external. Even though there are external threats, the greatest threats to America are internal. But back to the phone lines, we'll go next to Georgia, where Eddie was spared having a governor by the name of Stacey Abrams. Eddie, thank you for calling the Hamilton Corner. Welcome to the program.
Well, I didn't vote for her. I don't believe in LGBT. I believe in one man and one woman.
Oh, Eddie, I agree with you. And I hope you don't. I was not meaning to infer that you did vote for Stacey Abrams. I'm just saying y'all dodged a bullet by.
No, well, they criticized the black males here because over 11% of us did not vote for her. And they thought that was such a bad thing. If we had voted for her, then she would have won and we would have had LGBT all over the state of Georgia.
You're right, Eddie. And guess what? If I lived in Georgia, I'd have been right there with you. I'd have been right there with you.
No, I didn't vote for her. I'm tired of you voting for people because they're black.
I agree.
You know, every time our good brother Jesse Jackson talk about the black, the lesbian, the gay, you know, the humpbacks and the midgets, you don't put me with all them folks. I don't like that, you know?
I understand.
Yep, and that the main thing that when you have all this fake news coming out, they're trying to get ram up sympathy for these homosexuals and lesbians, you know? And it's amazing that they can push that in our community, and hardly none of the ministers sitting in the pulpits will say anything about it. Mm. And then I read also in the Bible, it said, all of them that love death hate me. Mm. And if you know the way they love death, they, you know, they hate the Lord. They hate God.
Mm. Eddie, thank you for your call and your comments. You know, I've said repeatedly that sexual preferences has no connection to my skin color. And it's deplorable, literally, for someone to make that connection. And you're absolutely right. You know, I've shared before on this program, there was a book written by a psychologist and psychiatrist in the 80s called After the Ball, where they literally explained their strategy to to move America to embrace same-sex marriage within the next certain amount of time period. And they literally admitted that they wanted to use a strategy of desensitization, jamming, and conversion. Now, if you know anything about those three stages, those are the three phases of brainwashing. And they admitted that they knew it. They knew it. And their strategy included, well, we want to paint homosexual people in the fairest light possible. Let's make sure we focus all of our attention on the personalities and not the behavior of homosexuality. Let's focus on the persons. That's why whenever you see a character in a movie or a show or television, they're always, if they're homosexual, they're always the smartest. They're always the quickest witted. They're always the most fashionable. They're almost always the heroes or the heroines in the programs. That's a part of the after the ball strategy. And then the desensitization is put it everywhere. Now, even to this day, it's only about maybe 15 million people in America who profess to be, you know, among the LGBTQ identifiers. Folks, there are 340 million people in the country. That's less than 1% of the population. But if you look at our media, you would think every three people. That's a part of the same strategy. Then conversion, the last part of the brainwashing strategy was to tie I call it the sexual deviancy political agenda to the civil rights movement of the 1960s in America, so that if a person objects to the LGBTQIAP plus political agenda, then they are synonymous with being racist. And you tell me whether or not that has been accomplished in our country. It was all a part of the strategy, which is why, even though I might be a lone voice crying in the wilderness, I will always adamantly say that the LGBTQ political agenda should never be associated with the civil rights movement in the 60s, because it is an insult to the civil rights movement of the 1960s. So thank you very much for your call. Man, I got to get to some more callers because I have more to say. But let's go next to Ohio, where Mark is on the line. Mark, thank you for calling the Hamilton Corner. Welcome to the program.
Hey, Abe, I think the reason the propagandist media, which is, you know, basically an extension of the Democratic Party, I think the reason they bring out these false reports and they never investigate them, but they just jump on them, is they know that they can push buttons, especially with their base, with the Democratic base. Because the one thing, and they'll deny this, but the one thing that cannot be forgotten as Christians is that the lifestyle of most of the people on the left that espouse abortion, that do drugs, that engage in all this sexual immorality, they are filled with guilt. Mm. You cannot push away guilt out of your life. It stays in there, and a lot of times it'll manifest itself in anger. Also, they basically use and abuse each other, so there is an awful lot of unforgiveness. And I know that left will not admit that, and they won't believe that, but the leaders on the left know that people full of hurts and anger, they can manipulate that anger for their own, the leaders' causes.
Mm.
And they do this to get people riled up, because it basically perpetuates the train wreck that is in slow motion, that is basically going to destroy everything in its path, including themselves.
Mm. Mark, thank you for your call and your comments. You know, this is connected to what Mark just said. You think about how vehemently proponents of the Democrat Party and the media worked to protect former President Barack Obama from being described as a socialist. You remember that? The media worked overtime. He's not a socialist. And here we are, less than 8 years removed from his presidency, where the most popular candidates in the Democrat Party are self-described as socialists. The only way you can pull off that Jedi mind trick is if you are dealing with the populace that are not thinking. Less than 8 years ago, they were saying, this is not socialist. And now it's saying, well, what's so bad about socialism? The only way you can do that is if you have a non-thinking populace. And I think, Mark, you hit on a lot with your call and your comments. Thank you, everybody, for tuning in to today's program.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast may not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.